1 Peter chapter 5. I titled this message, How Healthy is Your Church? When persecution comes knocking at the house of God, it better have good spiritual leadership, or it's going to fall apart. When the storms come, when the trials hit, if the leadership is not strong, focused, it's not going to make it. And here in this chapter, Peter is giving the guidelines to the leadership. He's setting the tone for the character of the leadership. And then he's giving us the reward for serving. In this final chapter, we'll see that suffering the second coming of Jesus produce service, hope, humility, patience here on this earth. Every Christian ought to have a second coming of Jesus in their plan for the future. Now, we're often told that we need to plan for the future here in this life. But the question is, are we planning for the time when Jesus takes us out of this life? Are you living every day as though this was the last day of your life here on this earth? Now here, Peter gives us the blueprints of how we should live our lives. What is the relation to suffering to the second coming of Jesus? The Christian life began with Jesus suffering on the cross at Calvary. He took the penalty for your sins and mine. Let's pray before we dig in the Word. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit. We ask God that, Lord, that I would get out of the way, that you would speak through me. I pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of speech. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we can all glean something out of this chapter. I pray, Lord, that as we look at the leadership, not only within the body of Christ, but the leadership in our homes as well, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us here as fathers, as husbands, as leaders in the church, God, that you would put a stirring in our heart. Give us a stirring in our heart that that has a desire to not only be about your business, but to live it, to live our lives as that man that that truly exemplifies you. So, Father, we look forward to what you're going to do here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead. It's a short chapter, so I'll go ahead and read the chapter, and then we'll break it down verse by verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Being sober-minded, being watchful, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter begins by asserting his position. Let me give you a few facts about Peter. Peter's name is mentioned in the gospel more than any other name except for Jesus. And no one is spoken by Jesus as often as Peter. No one else confessed Jesus more boldly or acknowledged his lordship more explicitly. Yet, no other disciple ever openly denied Jesus as Peter did. No one was praised and blessed by Jesus the way Peter was. Yet Peter also was the only one that Jesus addressed as Satan. Jesus had harsher things to say about Peter than he did for any of the others. But notice here, he calls himself not an apostle, not a disciple. He calls himself here a fellow elder. An elder is a spiritual office of shepherding. That's all that Peter ever claimed himself to be, was a shepherd. And we see here in verse 2, he talks about shepherding the flock. Here we see the character traits of a shepherd, which is an elder. Here's the thing. An elder must be ministering for the right reasons, in the right spirit. And they must do it freely of choice. An elder must have the right motive for service. He should find satisfaction in the service itself rather than what he gets out of it. An elder should be leading, not domineering, but setting an example for the church. 1 Timothy, and I know all you guys are familiar with this passage, but 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 gives us the qualifications of a pastor or elder. I'll say one thing. Most problems in most churches are directly traceable to the failure of leadership in a church. That's a fact. If people in the church have bad theology, it's because the pastor or elders aren't teaching very well, or they're teaching the wrong thing. If there's gossip and dissension within the body, it's because the leaders in the church have not been strong in keeping their eyes on what's going on and making sure that the church is a loving and caring church. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what the Lord wants. Now, I read a staggering figure here. 3,500 churches are expected this year alone to die or close the doors in the United States. 3,500 churches. How a church is prepared, who ultimately is qualified to be an elder or pastor is incredibly important. When we're talking about the pastor, there are different words that are used in the Bible. Bishop, overseer, shepherd, pastor, elder. Those are all different synonyms being used for the same individual throughout the New Testament. That's our pastor's job. Peter, Charlie, Stephen, myself, yeah, we have the titles of elders. But ultimately, it falls on the shoulders of Pastor Rawl. Our jobs as elders here in the church are to be his hands, feet, his eyes. We are to be under his leadership and serving under his leadership as well. That's our jobs. And I'll tell you one thing. You're in a healthy church. You're in a healthy church. You have leadership here that truly cares for each one of you and your families. Our mission is to see that each one of you, your spouses, your children, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ here at the Refuge. Verse 4, it says that the chief shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd who died for the sheep in John 10:11. The great shepherd who lives for the sheep in Hebrews 13:20-21. And the chief shepherd who comes for the sheep here in verse 4. As the chief shepherd, he alone can assess a man's ministry and give him the proper reward. Here's the thing. Some who appear to be first may end up last when the Lord examines each man's ministry. And by the way, we all have a ministry. Our homes are our ministry. Our family is our ministry. So whether you're serving here in leadership or at home, you have a ministry. Today's Christian worker may labor for different kinds of rewards. Some work hard to build personal empires. Some strive for applause of men. Still others seek promotion within the church. And he talks here about the unfading glory. In contrast to the unfading glory, it's easy to think of crowns as major achievements here on this earth. I think of the triple crown in baseball. I think of the crowns that kings and queens have throughout this world. Now, there are limited amount of crowns here on this earth, but in heaven, it is much different. Heavenly rewards, heavenly crowns will not be limited to a selected few. Not at all. Each one that has been waiting for the return of Jesus will receive a crown. In verse 5 here, being in subjection to the elders. The way I read this is it's not necessarily talking about age. He's talking about young believers submitting to older believers. Not out of respect for their age, but out of respect for their spiritual maturity. But keep in mind, not all senior saints are mature Christians. Here's the thing. We can never be submissive to each other until we first are submissive to Jesus. I tell you, I've seen a lot of Christians that have been walking with the Lord for a long time that are not mature, and I'm sure you guys have as well. You shake your head at some people that, what happened? Why are you not growing? Why have you not grown after all these years? But it happens. And then here in verse 7, he talks about casting your cares. If anybody knew from experience that Jesus cares for his own, it was Peter. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law in Mark 1, verses 29 through 31, gave him the great catch of fish in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, helped pay the temple tax in Matthew 17, 24 through 27, and delivered Peter from prison in Acts 12. I think Peter was qualified to say this. But here's the thing. Are we casting our cares to Jesus on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis? You know, I know I'm guilty, and I'm sure each one of you are as well too. God has called us to cast our cares upon us because He cares for us individually. And, you know, if you want to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, you're not going to do it as long as you hold on to those cares. You can't give them to Jesus. A little piece here, a little piece there. You have to give Him the whole thing. Sometimes we think that it's not that important to give to Jesus. Oh, it's not a big deal. No. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. When we do that, a little bit here, a little bit there, that comes back on us. And then Peter also talks here about being sober-minded. And what he's talking about here is have your minds under control, especially when it comes to conflict with Satan. Now, it's true that Satan can inflict sickness and pain. We see that in the book of Job. But here's the thing. We can resist him by standing in the Word of God and refuse to be moved. You know, in Matthew 28, it talks about building our house in the sand, or is it building on the rock? You know, we need to do that. We need to build our home, build our lives on the rock. Because I'll tell you what, Satan, as it says here, Satan is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Guys, you know as well as I do, man, that the trials are there daily in our lives. I mean, we're bombarded all day long. And if we don't have that firm foundation in Christ, we're going to waver. It's inevitable. But I love the way Peter wraps this chapter up. He talks about restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He changes gears completely. Peter closes on this positive note and reminds us that Jesus knows what He's doing and He has complete control of each one of our lives. Yes, just like I said last Sunday, Satan will try to gum you to death, but he can't leave any teeth marks. If we continue to stay focused on the Lord, He will strengthen us. He will establish us. He will restore us. I think what we can walk away with in this chapter is No matter how difficult the trials become, we always have the hope which is in God's grace that meets every situation in our lives. Here on earth and the life after. I think Peter, he wrapped up this chapter to prove two points. To build up the leadership within the church so that in turn they can build up the congregation. He tells us what's going to happen. Satan is going to continue to try and bring the church down. But he cheers us on here and he tells us to resist him, to stay steadfast, knowing that your brothers throughout this world, fellow Christian brothers and sisters, are being attacked the same way. I mean, we have here in this church here, Satan is trying to bring each one of us down. Can you imagine? This is one church. I mean, churches throughout this country, throughout this world, are being attacked in the same way. I think that Peter was a man that struggled, but he finished strong. And that's exactly what we need to do. We've struggled as well too, but it's how we're going to finish. We look forward to that day when we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we look at these various traits, character traits, as a leader, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will be strengthened. Lord, help us, Father. Help us not to fall prey to the enemy. Lord, as these trials come, keep us strong, Father. Keep us focused on you. Help us to build up one another. As we read here in this chapter, Father, help us to see each other, see the need, encourage one another, pray for one another. Lord, thank you for this chapter. We lift these things up in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.